And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Me podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. And I suppose it's a Monday of a bank holiday. We've left it till the Monday. The Galway races are over. Davey has made it back in one piece. So, you know, it's been a successful week, let's just say, Davey.
Absolutely, Mickey. Yeah, another great hurling week for the lads. It's been fantastic. I was a shook man going back training yesterday morning. As were, I'm sure, a lot of footballers in the county, and many club managers, I'm sure, around the county were putting their players through their paces. But all in all, a great week. And we haven't even talked about Meath's thrilling draw with Derry yet.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment. So that's for sure. We played a challenge match on Friday night, and there was a guy who came back from the Galway races. He had been down there for 3 days, and he had had 6 hours sleep in the 3 days. And he did quite well when he came on. I was very surprised. I think he was still drunk though. But Davey, you mentioned it there. The Camogues in Croke Park on Sunday afternoon as part of a triple header there for the All-Ireland series. You had the All-Ireland senior, intermediate and junior being played. And you were there for us, Davey. Brendan Skeehan's girls woke up, let's just say, in the second half. Did a really good start to the final, and after 5 minutes, I think we're leading 1-1 to 2 points. Didn't score for the rest of the half and trailed 1-8 to 1-1 at half time. But they were like a team possessed when they came back out in the second half.
It's astonishing when I'm looking just at the notes, Mickey. You're right. Derry opened up a 1-9 to 1-1 advantage 5 minutes into the second half. At that stage, Meath hadn't scored for well over half an hour either side of the break. And they bridged that gap on the 38th minute. From the 35th minute on, Derry didn't score. So Derry literally went another a half an hour without scoring. You hear all these cliches about games of two halves all the time. But this was astonishing because Derry were so good in the first half. Meath were awful. I even said to myself, I think, at halftime and said, listen, even if Meath turn it on and play really well in the second half, they're not going to bridge that gap because Derry won't go off the boil as much as Meath were in the first half. But they did, and credit to Meath because they look like a completely beaten docket, and they summoned an incredible second half performance, and that with like a whole host of missed opportunities as well. They had, what did they have, 7 second half wides as well. In actual fact, they can feel quite aggrieved they didn't win the match. I know they had a couple of chances towards the end. I know that sounds greedy. That was the emotion. I seen a great picture of Leah Devine after the game on the field. She was crestfallen. The Derry players looked quite relieved to get out of there with a draw on another day out. But I'd be really confident about the second day for a couple of reasons. One, Aoife Minogue wasn't near as good as we know she is and she can be and will be. I thought Amy Gaffney had a really quiet day as well. And Meade's fitness in the second half was outstanding. And I think those three things pitted together, if they can improve on those aspects for the replay, they'll be in mighty nick.
Yeah, well, it finished Meath 2-6, Derry 1-9, a draw. And the replay will be in Clonus next Saturday at 1 p.m. We're going to do a full review of this game over on our Loyal Royals podcast this week. We have interviews with the manager, Brendan Skeehan, and Nafianna's Sophia Payne, and Dunboyne's Maeve Clintz, who incidentally was the player of the match. So head on over to our Patreon services, patreon.com/WeAreMeath, and you'll get that review of the Camogie final, the intermediate All-Ireland Camogie final. We'll have a whole host of Loyal Royals podcast going out this week. We'll have the Senior Football Championship preview for next weekend, the Intermediate preview, as well as the Junior A and B previews happening for all that football taking place next week. So we do have the Camogie review over there as well. And we might even put a little bit of a preview into it because that final is on Saturday. And, you know, Brendan Skehan, Davey, we talk about him so often here on the podcast, but was he relieved or was he disappointed? Because you said they had those seven chances, those seven wides in the second half. What was his emotions like after the game?
Well, I congratulated him on the draw and he sort of laughed and said, yeah, no, absolutely. And then he was thinking about it and he says, do you know what? Relieved is a better word to use. And that's exactly how he felt. Because, now listen, and I spoke to Sophia and to Maeve afterwards and they keep talking about the 6 inches, which is up here. And that was what was spoken about at halftime, that, listen, it's all up here. It's still there for us and we can't be as bad in the second half as we were in the first. So they were still not pressing any panic buttons despite how poorly they played in the first half, and all credit to them because the second half they were absolutely outstanding, to be fair, and very good value for at least the draw, if not the win itself. But hopefully they can rectify that next weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best of luck to Brendan and the girls next weekend in Clonus. That one will be a little bit more of a midpoint for Derry and me. Nice big wide pitch as well. So hopefully they'll get the job done on Saturday afternoon when they have that replay against Derry in the All-Ireland Intermediate Camogie final. So best of luck to all involved.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the auto mower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
We're going to stick with the Sticks. And, of course, while it was the Camogie All-Ireland final weekend, it was also a Club Hurling Championship weekend in Meath. And, Davey, I think you've got the results for us from the Club Hurling Championship.
Yeah, I do indeed, Mickey. A whole host of games taking place. The first of those was actually last Thursday night. And the reason for that was, of course, Alan Douglas was getting married to his fiancée, Sarah Kelly, on Friday, so Trim got an early one, and we might just start there. I'm just looking, trying to get the football out of the way. So on Thursday night, it was Trim who had a huge victory over in Longwood against Killine, 127-29. Trim, looking good. Then in Trim, also in the Ted Murtha Clothing and Footwear Group A on Saturday, it was Kiltail who had a big second half performance in defeating Nafina 4-14 to 9 points. But Nafina led at half time in that game. But a Jaxie Regan inspired Kiltail, who scored, I think Jaxie finished with 2-8. They got the better of Nafina in that second half. Then on Sunday in Park Tolton, it was Kildare who continued their winning ways. They defeated Retort by 5 points, 118 to a goal on 13. Then into Group B, this was the group of shocks really across the weekend, Mickey. A few very eye-catching results starting on Friday night, where Blackall Gaels defeated Kilmessan 118 to 16 points. That was over in Kiltail. Also on Friday night, probably the result of the weekend, if truth be told, Longwood 3-12, Clannagale 19 points, 2-point victory for Longwood over in Father Plunkett Memorial Park. And then another massive upset on Sunday. Dundee 19 points, St. Peter's Dunboyne 12 points. And what that means for Group B is Blackhall Gales are 3-3. They're top. Clannagale dropped to second with 4. It's Kilmess and Dundee, Longwood and St. Peter's Dunboyne all locked on 2 points. So finally poised. And just quickly to skim through Group A, Trim and Kildare, both 3-3 on 6 points. Kiltale have recovered well and they're on 4 after 3 games. Ratoath are on 2 and Killine and Athena are still pointless. We will look at the Intermediate Hurling Championship then, Mickey, in Rathmullen Friday evening. Kildare had a 3-point win over Boards Mill. It finished Kildare 15 points, Boards Mill 12 points. Rathmullen had a big victory over Drumree, 218 to 211. That was in Batterstown on Saturday. And then on Sunday night, Boy Navanomatnies defeated Gaelcolm Kill narrowly by a solitary point, 112 to 14 points. In the Group B of the JM Food Services, Group B, Trim had a big victory over St. Peter's Dunboyne on Saturday in Dunchoclan. Trim 221, St. Peter's Dunboyne 210. Also on Saturday in Ashburn, it was Dunham Ashburn 310, Wolftones 110. Then on Saturday in Dundee, Kilskier Moyle received a walkover from Kilmessan. And just trying to see, was there any games played in the Junior Championship? Yeah, K Windows and Doors, Junior Hurling Championship Group A. There was one game down for decision, I think. And that was on Friday night in Killine, where Killine and Drumree played out a draw, 1-9 apiece.
Yeah, looking at the tables, Davey, you mentioned them there and whatever. Even in the Intermediate Hurling Group B, very, very tight in there. Nobody with a 100% record apart from Kilskier Moyle at the moment, but they have a game in hand as well. Then looking at the Group A, they're, you know, Kildare, the outliers there, they're at the top of the table. But again, it is so tight between the rest of them. The next five teams, there's 3 points separating them, with Gaelcolm Kill and no points at the bottom. And then, as you said, in the Ted Murtha Hurling Group B, while St. Peter's Dunboyne, Longwood, Dundee and Kilmessan all have 2 points, Clondegale have 4, and at the top of the table, it's Blackhall Gales with 6. And I suppose from Group A of the Hurling Championship, Trim and Kildare, they're the two front runners at the moment, with Kiltale chasing them on 4 points, with Holt on 2, Killine, as you said, and Nafina on 0. So it's all starting to hot up in the Hurling Championship as well, Davey.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We know that it's top four from Group A, so already it looks like Trim and Kildare are assured of their place. The top two go straight through to the semi-final, with 3 and 4 playing 1 and 2 from Group B, which is finally poised at the minute. Blackhall Gales and Clannagale, both 3-3, but still a lot of hurling to be played.
Yeah, there really is. And moving on to the next part of the show, which will be our... actually, we've got a fixture just in there, Davey, you're just after sending it to me. We were going to talk about the Gerry Reilly tournament. The final is on Saturday, the 12th of August at 2:30 in Oldcastle in Millbrook. So an early throw-in for that final, Davey, and it's going to be a hotly contested Meath-Cavan final, and one that everybody is looking forward to. There's been a huge build-up to this final.
There has, yeah, and there's been a nice break in between, which is nice as well for the lads, just to get themselves set for what's a huge occasion for them too. And obviously we know that it's probably going to coincide with the Meads Camogues replay as well. So there'll be probably a few decisions and plenty of options for supporters to go out to. And there's going to be obviously football taking place that evening. So it's probably, it's well-timed in the sense that it's not clashing with any of the football games. But unfortunately, now it's going to clash with Camogie. But listen, I'd still expect a massive crowd for that. Obviously, the local derby, as you mentioned, with Cavan, and plenty of great young talent on show from both pools of players. It should be a great occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll try and get in contact with the management team, and we will get the full list of players that are involved with that, and we'll give them a shout out on the podcast at some stage.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Time to move on anyway. We're going to have a look back at last weekend, Davey, because of course it was the opening round fixtures of the Senior and Intermediate Football Championship. It was round two of the Junior A and Junior B. And what that means is it was time for our second Kiko Sports Team of the Week for round two of the Club Championship. And of course we announced the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week and the Blackwater Inn Top Scorer of the Week as well. So we've just announced that team now. Here on the We Are Meath podcast. In goals, it was Oisín McDermott from Ballinlough. He was involved in that draw with Kilmainham. Ben Wire was in at number two from Rathold. Harry Newman also involved in that game against Ballinlough. He was the fullback on this week's. He was Kilmainham's Harry Newman, that is, Mickey Newman's brother. Or would you say that Harry Newman is Mickey Newman's brother or Mickey Newman is Harry Newman's brother these days?
I think it's the other way around this week. Yeah, normally yeah. It's the other way, but I think Harry is the bragging rights this week, Mickey.
Absolutely. And completing our full back line on the Kiko Sports Team of the Week was Sean O'Hare from Rathkenny. Our half back line was Adam McDonald from Summerhill, Dan O'Neill from Wolf Tones, and Killian Price from Castletown. Our half back line scoring 1-6 between them last weekend. Our midfield pairing was Gary Breslin and Cahill Hickey, both of them on the score sheet. 9 points from play between the two of them. Absolutely incredible. Meath Hill's Gary Breslin, Central Saints' Cahill Hickey. Half forward line was Cormac Shee from Meath Hill, Doughy McGowan from Rathold, and Matt Tully from Slane. CJ Healy was number 13 from Oldcastle. Donal Lennon from Dunboyne was at full forward with 110. And Brian O'Connell, who scored 1-8 for Waterstown against Longwood, he was in completing our full forward line. Our top scorer of the week award went to Donal Lennon from St. Peter's Dunboyne. We'll come back to that in a moment. And our player of the week was Harry Newman from Kilmainham GFC. Just on the top scorer of the week, just in case people didn't hear it, we did announce it last week that we had to have an extraordinary general meeting about our top scorer of the week because of the skewed results that we were getting from Eastern Gales and from St. Paul's matches. And we had a lot of people in contact with the podcast from around the county, and they were saying it was taking the prize and the whole awarding of that top scorer of the week into disrepute. So we had to make an executive decision. And what we've done is, so that we don't exclude Junior B players, we're just going to exclude the games that include St. Paul's and Eastern Gales for the time being, because it is a little bit unfair to, let's say, the likes of a Donal Lennon who scored 110 in a really tight affair in a senior game, Davey.
Exactly, Mickey. We gave it every chance. In fairness, we didn't actually make it official, if you like, until after last weekend's games. We had it sort of pre-planned if it did come to that. And sure enough, it did with Matt. And listen, as we said last week, we're not excluding guys who play extremely well against those teams. They're still going to be, included or considered for inclusion in the Kiko Sports Team of the Week. But we did feel that overall to give them top scorer of the week or indeed player of the week, you know, I don't think it would be fair on some of the guys from the other games and the other grades in general. So that's the call we've made. To be fair, we've had, to the best of my knowledge, no backlash on it. I think everybody's sort of in agreement on it. So yeah, good to have that boxed off.
It's just the gulf in class, and that's just it. Davey, our Blackwater Inn player of the week for round two was Harry Newman, put in an unbelievable display against Ballinlough.
He was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. You know, playing against Mark McCullough, really physical, towering sort of full forward. And Harry just relishes those sorts of occasions, you know, 40 years of age now. And still as fit and nimble as he probably ever was, and what a servant he's been for Kilmainham, and just great to see him get a little bit of recognition, because this was all joking aside, Mickey does tend to grab a lot of the limelight naturally, and I think Harry really savoured in that for the week that was in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you caught up with him in the Blackwater in Kells over the weekend to present him with his prize, and we'll go to that interview just now.
Delighted to be joined by the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week, Mr. Harry Newman, and of course the sponsor, George Plunkett. Harry, many congratulations. Nice to get the little personal acclaims, but I'm sure the point is probably a little bit more valuable to you after last weekend.
Yeah, Davey, cheers. Thanks for that. Yeah, just discussing it there, the game was very tight, so we're happy first round to come away with a point, as you said, because we had a bye in the first round, so we're probably a bit rusty. And nice cap to cap it off to get Player of the Week. And it's not a mistake, it is Harry Newman and not Mickey Newman.
Well, we were just joking about that. Nice of Mickey to give someone else a chance in the Newman household, and certainly in Kilmainham as well. But he obviously had a really good game on Mark McCullough and kept him scoreless. And he's a very tricky player, big physical unit. You probably knew what you were coming into, but you have to go and execute it, I suppose, and you did that really well.
I'd know Mark well, so we had a good old battle in there. It didn't get too physical, because if it did, he'd probably have me on the ground, so just tried to concentrate my own game, and yeah, it was a good battle. Listen, there was battles all over the pitch like that, where there were 50-50, and so, yeah, it definitely helped towards the end scoreline, I suppose, to keep it tight in the full back line.
How important was the point, because obviously he had the bye in the first round, and maybe there was a bit of pressure on you guys coming into round two. Ballinlock already had a win against Moyle, so that I suppose not to go into round three pointless or winless, it was important to get something on the board at least.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, the Junior A is very tight, it's very competitive, like every team is saying it, but it's true. From the start of the year, we knew there'd be only a point or two between games, so we just made sure, you know, we were well prepared. We played, you know, challenge games, we trained hard, but you can't replicate like not having a game in the first round, so we're happy that we've something to build on now going into the Vincent's game next Saturday.
You're 48 years of age. You mightn't like me saying that over the airwaves, but incredibly sharp and still as fit as a flea. How do you do it? What's the secret, or is there a secret? I suppose the hunger and the competitiveness is something that always shines true in you, but particularly when you're playing full back and you're marking still threats on opposition teams, it must be very difficult to stay at that level, I would imagine.
Not really, as you said, it comes back to hunger and you want to be competitive, so I don't really ever care who I'm marking, to be honest, or what age they're, or if you have the will and determination, like, you'll be there or thereabouts, and then a lot of it's all on the day too. Like, I've had bad days as well, but you stick at it, and yeah, it's very enjoyable. I suppose as you get older, you realise there's not a whole lot left, so you maybe enjoy it that bit more, and you just able to deal with the pressure and stuff like that a bit better.
And also the fact that maybe Kilmainham isn't the biggest of clubs with massive picks like town teams and stuff. You might like to go into the sunset and drift away, but in clubs like Kilmainham and Corton and all the rest of them, you don't really have that luxury, really. You have to keep going.
Yeah, that's true. I'd say if I retired in the morning, they'd be all down at the house pulling me out, so it's probably not really an option. But I wouldn't change for the world. I wouldn't change Kilmainham. I know there's bigger clubs and this and that and numbers, but no, I love playing with Kilmainham and I always have, and I'll keep going as long as I can.
George, that's something that really shines true when you watch not just Harry but Kilmainham in general, that spirit and that determination. And I know you were at the game as well and you really enjoyed it. Harry was talking about maybe the quality wasn't the best, but you loved it because of how tight and the local derby element to it as well.
Yeah, I thought it was very enjoyable. It was, the fences were well on top, but the closeness of the game, close nature of the game, to me made it enjoyable. Okay, in an ideal world you want to see big shootouts, but like, defending is an art as well. And it's great to see, I know Leno got top scorer of the week at full forward, but it's great to see a man the other end of the field getting getting rewarded for doing his job. And he mentioned himself, not to take anything away from him, but I thought the entire full back line for Kilmainham were very, very good. Very tight, very tigerish. Harry's other brother there, he gave nothing away either, you know what I mean? But yeah, enjoyable game, good physical contact, two local teams, and more to come in that division as well, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. You were a keen observer from the Bridgets. We had that conversation with Gerry O'Sullivan only here last week or the week before, but there'll be two sticky propositions, Ballinlough and Kilmainham, when Bridgets come up against them in a couple of weeks.
Oh, they will, for sure, without a doubt. And I'd say both of them have the edge on St Bridget's with regards to experience. But Bridges are moving well. I think they'll relish the challenge taking on anyone. I probably shouldn't say this, but I will anyway. That's me. At this stage, worst case scenario, I could see Bridges losing all three games, but I could also see them winning all three games. I think that's how finely balanced it is. And it's great. It's a great group. You know, I remember meeting them. A local public in an old castle, T.P. Fox, on the street one Tuesday, and he was rubbing his hands, and I knew what it was about, all the local derbies, you know. So, yeah, it's something to look forward to, without a doubt.
Just on that point, Harry, the group in general is so finely poised. You know, he played Vincent's next. Essentially, it's last chance saloon for them. They've lost their first two games, but wouldn't be beyond the realms that they could beat Kilmainham and go on and maybe even qualify at the end of the group. So that's a huge game for ye guys next weekend, and obviously a win will put you in a really strong position entering the fourth round or third round for ye.
Yeah, absolutely. We literally talk Ballinlough first and concentrate on that. Now you're Vincent's, and yeah, we have to win, really, realistically. Mm. We're not too worried about them, but yeah, we have to win and then we'll take it from there. But yeah, it's tight. We're preparing for tight games, and every game we play, we're not overconfident in any of them. We know what's at stake, and yeah, as George said, it's a battle, and you could easily finish on top, and you could easily finish down the bottom of their group, same as the other group. But it's a good challenge, and we're all enjoying the banter as well. Local teams playing each other creates a bit of crack and excitement.
Absolutely. He's some servant, in fairness, isn't he? I know he comes from a terrific footballing family and that, but you have to tip your cap to him.
He's unbelievable. That he, what age did you say he was?
I think 40. You might tell me if I'm wrong, but no. Okay. 40.
Sorry, I thought you said 48. Jesus. But yeah, he's some servant. Absolutely. And looking at him, I saw him playing with the Mead Juniors, and as you said, a great footballing family. And it's probably the... In fairness, be remiss of me not to mention he had a tough year. This time last year at awards night, Mickey couldn't make it, but we had Dennis in there, and the crack we had with Dennis, and my God, but the boys are doing him proud in the best way he would want them to on the field. So, you know, fair play. They were a great footballing family and a great Kilmainham family and great characters, you know. So upwards, onwards and upwards, I'm sure. Hopefully we'll be still friends after the Bridges game.
Very well said. It might be the number 3 jersey that's going back to the Newman household this year, not the number 14. I'm sure Mickey will have something to say about it as the year goes on. It's a long year, but you're in the driver's seat at the minute, Harry.
Yeah, Mickey would love this. This is the slagging already, so it's serious motivation for him. He'd watch out, Vincent. That's what I'd be saying.
Well done.
Thanks.
Great stuff.
Yeah, so that was Harry Newman from Kilmainham GFC in the Blackwater Inn in Kells. Incidentally, Davy Dunlennan wasn't available. He'd a good enough excuse, I suppose, not to be able to go down to collect the voucher off you in the Blackwater Inn.
Yeah, Dunlennan is really milking this wedding, isn't he? I mean, when was it? After the day after the Tarleton final. But no, listen, in between going... and getting married, winning the Tarleton Cup and actually going on his honeymoon, he managed to kick a goal in 10 for St Peter's de Moines in their first round of the championship. So they'll be pretty happy he stayed around for that. And he's obviously going to be back in time for round 2. So Ger Robinson, the St Peter's de Moines manager, who was on duty for a soccer blitz down in Claremont Stadium with his own son, was on hand to collect the voucher on Donald's behalf. Whether or not he gets to keep the contents of the voucher, well, that's between those two now. But fair play to Ger as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And he came down and, as you said, represented Donal Lennon and received it on his behalf. But yeah, absolutely brilliant. And again, we want to thank all our sponsors on our podcasts. Because without them, we wouldn't be able to do all these podcasts and do the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week, Top Scorer of the Week, and Kiko Sports, obviously, as well. Your local Husqvarna dealer down in Clonard as well, PR Coyne and Sons. They're absolutely fantastic to us, as well as O'Reilly Group, O'Reilly Oakstown, who obviously bring the commentaries to all of our listeners, as well as PR Coyne and Sons. And again, stay tuned to our social media pages over the next week, because we will be announcing games that we will be commentating on over the weekend in the Club Football Championship. Davey, have we any other matters before we go to our lotteries?
No, I don't think so.
We'll head to the club lotteries then, so Davey.
Sound. Walter Center, first in, Mickey from Sunday night, the 6th of August. Their numbers were 5, 12, 16 and 21. No winner of their €7,800 jackpot. They did have one match three winner, who was Sherry-Ann McGurk, and she collects €100. The next draw is now open and it's worth €7,900. You can play via Club Force or pick up an envelope in Curran's Texaco Garage on the Dublin Road and O'Brien's Barn Restaurant in Johnstown. Cortown are next in from last Friday night, €15,400 of a jackpot, not won. The numbers were 11, 16, 28 and 30. €520 winners were Jim McDonnell, Sinead McFadden, Alana Thornton, Rosaline Fagan and TJ McDonnell. The two rugby tickets to Ireland and Italy went to Keith O'Neill. And we move on with €15,500 next Friday night at cortowngaa.com/lotto. Navan O'Mahony's from last week, and they had no jackpot winner last time out. 1, 3, 14 and 20 were their numbers. Fiona Murtha, Maggie Heffernan, Olive Castles and Evelyn Byrne were their match three winners. The next draw takes place on the 8th of August and it's worth €11,750.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Kilmainham's results from last Monday night, the 31st of July, they had no winner. Their numbers were 2, 3, 12 and 13. Next week's jackpot is now worth €8,400. The five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20, were Jerry Morgan, Peter Devine, Aidan Healy, Catherine Lynch and Eve and Aoife. Manalvi from last Monday night, 2. 11, 17, 19 and 26, their numbers. No jackpot winner. Three €20 winners were Vinnie Walsh, Tracy Brady and Peter Dernan. And next draw takes place tonight and it's worth €4,000. You can play it at manalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Drumbarra from last week, 2,500 of a jackpot, not one. 3, 7, 21 and 27, their numbers. €30 winners were James Caffrey, Sophia Persiga, Abby Hart, Emer Monaghan and Brody and Niall. Longwood from last week, last Monday night as well. 13,000 of a jackpot, or say 1,300 of a jackpot. No winner of their €1,200 jackpot. The lucky dip winners were Ethan Rigney, Finn McCrory, and Eileen Howland. The numbers were 8, 11, 13, and 24. They've got 1,300 on offer next week. Dunshaughlin Royal Gales also from last Monday night, 9,400 of a jackpot. Their numbers were 4, 8, 26, and 28. No jackpot winner, but they did have four match three winners who were Fiona Kelly, Alex Doyle, Andy Quinn and Vera Scully. They each win €50. Next draw takes place on Tuesday, the 8th of August at 8:30 live on Facebook. €9,600 on offer at Club Force. And that is it, Mickey, for me.
No problem at all, Davey. Centerstone's Lotto last week was not one. The numbers drawn were 3, 14, 23 and 28. I think their lotto is taking place tonight. The 525 euro winners were Derek Clifford, Jennifer Day, Helen Crosby, Eric Clark, Donald Bones. And this week's lotto is 4,700 euro. I think we may have even called that out last week. And on the Simonstown lotto, it was Friday night. There was no winner again. 3,550 euro on offer there. The numbers drawn were 2, 9, 15 and 19. There was one match three winner. That was Peggy Kerr. This week's lotto is on Friday night and it is 3,600 euro. Go to any of the social media pages and you will get the link to the lottos there. And then finally, from Kilmaine and Mud, we announced this last week live on air. So we did. It was just straight off the press. They had a winner of their jackpot last week. It was Megan Rooney. And this week's lotto is 2,000 euro. And that is taking place tonight. So well done to Megan Rooney getting her name in on the podcast 2 weeks in a row as well. So she's done pretty well there. And picked up 6,600 euro, I think it was as well. Okay, time to move on then, Davey, to Instagram Interactive.
Yeah, not a whole pile to be truthful about it, Mickey. Obviously, bank holiday weekend and a lot of people not exactly on Instagram, but Lauren Gorman was, and she said, some second half fight, but God, not good for the heart first thing in the morning. And of course, Lauren is over in, I think, Vancouver, and she'd be an avid Meet Camogie follower as well. So I can't imagine it was too good on the heart, but she'd be very heartened with that second half performance.
Yeah, absolutely. Like everybody, I think. You know, you said it there at the top of the podcast as well that, you know, you were thinking that, you know, they were going out in the second half and hopefully they'll put in a performance and put a bit of respectability on the scoreline. But to go out and do what they did and to have the chances to win it, I just think it bodes well for the second day and the replay.
Yeah, Joey Mooney, before it became official, was wondering, is the Camogie replay in Thurles? A lot of people were reporting this actually, and this was the word straight after the game, Mickey, as well, that the game would be in Thurles. Now, I don't know what sense that would have made bringing Derry down there, but they did seek common sense eventually.
Yeah, well, I can understand why they would have thought maybe it was going to be in Thurles, because it is, I suppose, the hurling home and you know, and whatever. And I don't think Meade would have minded if it was in Thurles. They've good record there.
No.
Yeah,
they would have been thrilled, I think. But yeah, St. Clonus is it?
It's a, yeah, it makes more sense. Yeah, it makes more sense.
Yeah. Colin O'Brien said Aoife Minogue's point, the fastest ever championship point. Yeah, this was incredible. This was right from the throw-in, Mickey. The ball was thrown in, and Aoife claimed possession. She ran about 15 or 20 meters and batted it over the bar from about 45 meters, and it was within the first. Definitely the first 10 seconds of the game. I don't have the official timing of it, but it had to have been close enough to the fastest ever scored.
Yeah, well, if Colin O'Brien is saying it's the fastest ever scored, I'd say he'd have his I's dotted and his T's crossed for something like that.
Yeah. Dylan Smith then just said, how good Sean O'Hare is, my team of the week player. Of course, Sean O'Hare was in our Kiko Sports team of the week last week. Very good.
Yeah, he put in a brilliant performance, and maybe our listener there is saying that he should have been the Blackwater Inn player of the week. But again, there was so many good performances last week. There was a whole host of them. Sean O'Hare was one of the standout performers, but that's why he got into the team of the week, I suppose. They're all standout Absolutely. Performers.
I think that's it for this week, Mickey.
No, right. Well, look, I'd say that after the club football championship next weekend, we'll have plenty of people in contact with us. It's going to be very interesting, let's just say. We will be doing the previews, as we said, over on our Loyal Royals podcast. But, Davey, there's a lot of teams. It's do or die week in that club football championship.
It is, yeah. I suppose in junior A and B in particular, it's obviously the third round of action, isn't it? So, yeah. You know, it's gonna be a pivotal week for those clubs. And you're right, even in the senior and intermediate, looking at it, like, it's round two. It's the week we always call moving weekend in the championship. So those who picked up a win in round one, there's gonna be a number of them probably sealing their spot through to the knockouts. And for others, it's going to be, unfortunately, probably a second consecutive defeat and spelling relegation trouble. So I think you're gonna see a big step up, or there's going to be levels, we'll say, next weekend, and it's going to be fascinating to watch it.
When I look down at the senior fixtures, like in Group A, you've got the two losers playing from round one playing each other. So one of them is going to, you know, be back in the championship, and one of them is going to be gone, Curraghaugh or Dunmore Ashburn. Then you look down at Group B, and it's the same for Trim and Centralstown. You know, they're both in the same boat. And then when you look at Group D as well, Gaelcullen, Killam, Ballina Bracky, like, what a contest that's going to be. And, you know, the winner is looking up, the loser is looking down. And then Group C is the only one where you've got a winner from week one playing a loser in both of the games. So really, really interesting. We could go down through all of the groups in the intermediate and the junior A and B. But as we said, we'll be doing that over on our Loyal Royals podcast. So do tune in to them. Look, that's it from this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. Remember, We Are Meath, why matters more.